All right, we're ready to go here. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at just one verse there and break it down today. We're going to look at Psalm 42, the 42nd Psalm. Very last verse, verse number 11. Psalm 49 or 42, verse number 11. Psalm 42, 11. The message today is God's cure for stress. And you don't all have any dealings with stress these days, do you? Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't know. But the thing is that the soul gets disquieted. And so we need to learn how to deal with this anxiety. We need to learn how to deal with stress in our lives. But we don't want to do it the way that the world does it. And there's a reason that the Bible uses the word disquieted, and we're going to talk about that as well. I'll explain that. And of course, that's the superior word. It's the Bible word. But I'm just using a word that you're more familiar with. We're always hearing about, oh man, I'm stressed out, right? Well, the Bible uses the word distress a lot. And of course, that's pretty close as well. But let's read this. The Bible says here, Psalm 42, verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this matter of finding peace in these days where we're always coming into stressful situations, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to learn your way to deal with these things, that we might be able to quickly put these problems away and continue to serve you well and to be a help to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, today our lives are always a continuous stream of activity. We're always busy. I know that's the way I feel, always busy, never a moment to myself. And hey, if we're not busy, we're still receiving information, we're listening to something, or we're learning something, we're communicating. You can't get away from communication today with these cell phones, these smartphones, the email, the SMS all the time chasing you down. And we look at these things as a convenience, but man, those things make it so that something is going on all the time. No peace. And I know the easy answer for dealing with the stress of so much activity is to say, well, just trust God and he'll deal with it. But man, if it was as simple as that, God would not have put so much information in his Bible on how to deal with these things. And so today I'm going to be dealing on the spiritual side because that's the only way to get the answers anyway. But we are going to deal with this. I don't know about you, but sometimes we deal with duties, we deal with expectations, we've got deadlines, and all of those things, they always seem to conflict. They never work out one after another. They always seem to be due at the same time. Everything has to be done at once, right away, and people are after you, and they're saying, when are you going to do this? When's it going to be done? You know, and you might even get to the point where you lose your ability to focus somewhat. Have you ever just tried to sit down and think about something or do something and it's just not there? I mean, because your mind is racing with all these things going on at once. You try to go to bed at night and thinking you can leave the day, but the day won't leave you is the problem. And there it is, and all the things that have to be done. You have trouble sleeping, and when you do sleep, it comes hard. It comes hard. And when you get up in the morning, you feel like you've been fighting all night. And some of you, I know you know what I'm talking about. And I think this world plans that, and I think the devil helps. But man, we come to the end of ourselves, don't we? We don't know what's going on, and yet I'm telling you that it is not God's way for the believer. It's not. We get there because we get away from God's way. But God has something better for us. He has something to help us to get away from some of that. It's not that I'm not saying that means you're not busy now as a result. It doesn't mean that you won't still have more coming at you than you can handle, but you will learn to give it to the Lord. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. The first thing is in the verse we read, it says in verse 11 there, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. So you notice, first of all, that he recognizes his condition. Okay? He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? So here the psalmist, he's talking to himself. That makes me feel a lot better. I don't know, because I like to talk to myself. Sometimes when I put it in words out loud, it just makes me focus, helps me to think about things better. So I put it in words, and he says here, why art thou cast down? Okay, he's saying, I understand. Yes, I can see clearly I am cast down. There is a problem here. He understood that he had lost the battle, that he understood he was in a defeated condition, and that's not where he used to be. Okay, there was a change, a big downward change there. He'd been knocked down, and he was still down. He understood that he was disquieted. Now, you notice the middle of the word disquieted is simply the word quiet. He had lost the quietness of his spirit. He had lost that inner peace that God provides. As the New Testament says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And so he recognized his condition, and so he questioned it. He questioned it. He said, why? Why is it? Why am I going through this? And you know one thing he recognized is that is not the natural condition as a saint of God. Okay, we get to the point where we think that it's natural. This world is coming at us and everything else, and we think that it's a natural condition to always be wound up so much that our spring is about to pop and be sprung. And don't get me wrong, the Bible says we should work as unto the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. So I'm not preaching against hard work, no way. Jesus worked day after day and long into the night, and he prayed all night long sometimes. And there were so many things going on that there was not time to eat sometimes during the ministry of Jesus Christ. But you find that there was a calmness there, something beyond what we have. And so that the psalmist here understood that it was not the natural condition. And so he started looking for reasons. He said, why am I cast down? He said, why am I disquieted? He recognized there had to be some reasons, and that he needed to find out what the reasons were. You see, the thing is, if you're in this state, if you're dealing with this condition right now, there are some reasons that you're going through this. And he goes on, he says, what are you going to do about it? Okay, well, he answers in this same verse. He says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So the first thing you find him doing is he's focusing his attention on God. He started to look at God himself. Hope thou in God. You know, when we get in such a mess, we start focusing on everything around us. We focus on ourselves. We feel sorry for ourselves. We think about all the things that need to be done. We think about all the people who want us to get those things done. And while we're thinking about that, we lose our focus on God himself, and we lose our peace. Well, you can't have peace looking at the waves. You got to look at the Savior. Amen. So as we think about this, we need to understand that he is your hope. He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's your hope. He says you need to understand that he's your hope, that he is your desire, that he's what you're looking to, it's Jesus Christ and God himself. Notice here that it says, I shall yet praise him. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to exalt him. I'm going to accept that he is the health of my countenance. Okay? I'm going to get my strength from him. You say, well, preacher, you say that, and that doesn't really mean anything to me practically. Okay? And so, and the only reason that you would say that is because you're so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good, I guess. The Bible says we need to take time to look to God and meditate on him. You say, but I don't have time to meditate. Well, you know, sometimes all it takes is just to turn off that TV, turn off that radio, put your cell phone down, or even while you wash the dishes, or while you clean the house, you can talk to God while you're doing that stuff. You can talk to the Lord while you're driving your car. I know we don't have time. I don't have time. I know what it is to be busy. But I'm going to tell you, you have to make the time. It's that important. Do you like to walk for exercise? Talk to the Lord while you're walking. Or you say, well, I don't know how to sit down with the Bible and read 40 chapters every day. Or maybe you've got bad eyes and it's hard to read. Well, get you a tape player and listen to Alexander Scorby read the Bible or someone else. That'll help you as you listen to the words of Scripture. But the point is, you need to get in God's book. You need to spend some time with God, hearing what he has to say. You meditate on the things of God. You got to talk it over with the Lord. You need to get that stuff worked out. But the Bible says, hope thou in God. If you want to have some help for that disquieted mind and that spirit that is troubled, that's stirred within you, that is cast in that cast down condition that you're in, you need to spend some time with God. But not only that, look with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4, 6. Now, obviously, I'm not trying to give you something new today. Paul said it's good, though, to say some of these things again. In Philippians 3:1, he said, to write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Philippians 3:1. So maybe you're saying, this is nothing new. I've heard this before, but sometimes that's exactly what we need. But here in Philippians 4:6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Now that word, careful, that does not spell or mean anxious. It spells careful. You hear a lot of people trying to change that. A lot of new Bible versions change that. You don't need to change that. You know what it is? You know what careful is? It's full of cares. Okay? Full of cares. You go over there in the Bible to Matthew 4:19, where you have the parable of the sower, and you find there the cares of this world. They're listed as one of the things that chokes the word to where it doesn't bear any fruit. The cares of this world chokes the word so it doesn't bear any fruit. See, you can't mess with the words in this Bible without messing up a cross-reference somewhere. So you change the word careful in Philippians 4 to something else, you don't have the cross-reference in Matthew 4:19. So Paul says in Philippians, he says, don't be careful for anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Okay, so here's the solution. What you're aiming for is to be careful for nothing. But the solution is, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Unto God. See, the thing is, if you're going to have peace and you're going to conquer the stress and conquer the disquietness of your soul, first of all, you've got to place your hope in God. You need to look to him. You need to focus on him. And secondly, you need to take your requests to him. Okay? 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Okay, that's one of those short, easy verses. If somebody tells me they can't memorize verses, I'll take them to this verse here, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Okay, that's one you need to memorize. I mean, you really need to. It'll help you. Just keep going over it. Keep going over it. God will use that. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God can use that. Okay, but you know, when I look at that verse, I realize the significance of the words, casting all your care upon him. There's power in those words. You know, we talk about taking all our burdens to the Lord and just leaving them there. Well, you know what I find when I try to take my burdens to the Lord and just kind of drop them off there like a book at the library or something? Well, I turn around and they're still dragging behind me. Can't get rid of them. I didn't get rid of them. You know, there they are. He doesn't say, though, that's why he doesn't say drop them off. He doesn't even say take them to the Lord and leave them there. He says casting your care upon the Lord. So do you know what you've got to do? You've got to say, Lord, I'm tired of this. Here, take it. You know, here it is, Lord. I can't do this. I can't bear this. I can't make this happen. I mean, isn't that what we do? We try to make this happen. And I find out that if I trust in God, number one, he gives me the strength and the joy to do more than I did before. Secondly, he'll bring something in from a source I couldn't even understand, and he makes it happen. I can't do it, but I know he can, and he does. He has for me. I hope you've experienced that as well. But you look here, he says, take your requests to the Lord, give him the list of your needs. We all want to tell everybody our problems, don't we? I mean, you're feeling down, and so you go find somebody, and you want to just unload on them. I mean, it feels good for a little while, but now the person you just unloaded on, they feel miserable because of you. And they're going, man, I got all my own burdens. Now I got their burdens as well. But you know, I'm going to tell you what, you take your problems to God and you talk to him about them. You cast them on him. You go and say, Lord, this is not working right. Lord, I've got to take care of this. Lord, I need your help on this. Lord, this is not making sense to me. I'll tell you what, one of the things that we have lost is the ability to politely argue with God. You notice I said politely. I mean, you don't come and treat him like he's your best buddy or something. He's God of heaven and earth. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. But I'm going to tell you something. You can go to the Lord and you can say, Lord, I don't understand this. Lord, I'm trying to figure this out. Lord, why did this happen? Why can you explain this to me, Lord? Doesn't make any sense to me. You look back to Jeremiah. He's a great example of this. You find him saying, I know, Lord, that you are God of heaven and earth. But he says, let me ask you about this over here. And he was saying this. He was saying, Lord, I got to talk to you about this. Can you make sense of this? You know, I found out that I have a God that I can go to and I can politely fuss with him for a while and say, I'm just not sure about this, Lord. I don't understand this. Why am I going through this? Why me, Lord? What's the purpose, Lord? That's what we need to find out. And I find out that he will lift me up and he'll help me and he will heal those wounds and he'll put me on my way. I'll tell you what, that burden is gone if you'll do that. I have trouble sometimes. Seems like it's about a 24 or 48 hour fix and I feel better, but then it starts coming back. But I find out if I take it to him, he gives me the grace. He gives me the strength. He giveth more grace when the burden's a little greater. And you look here, you find that you need to bathe your prayer in thanksgiving as well. Okay, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes we forget. We forget just how good God has been to us. We forget. You know, we're in the middle of a trial. We're in the middle of pressure, like an elephant is sitting on our chest, and we're going through some things that we've never faced before in our life. You know, I used to think that after you reached a certain age in your life that you had kind of already faced everything. But there's always something new around the corner, isn't there? There's always something that you've never seen before, you've never had to face before. You go to Romans chapter 5, Paul, he's talking about that glory in tribulation, but he talks about how that leads to experience. But that experience, that doesn't mean that you have faced every problem. That experience, that just means that you've seen God solve problems. You know that he can and will. And you say, well, if he could handle those other problems that I had in my life, why can't he handle this one too? I bet he can. All right, that's where your faith comes. Not that you have faced it before. You say, preacher, you just can't understand what I'm going through. And in my flesh, I want to say, well, you can't understand what I'm going through. We all have separate roads and separate things that we deal with. But we all have, guess what? We all have the same God. We've all been through some things. If you've been saved a number of years, you've been through some miraculous things in your life. You've seen God work in your life. You know that he did. You've seen him there just at the right time. Maybe you even know you'd be dead if it wasn't for God. If he could take care of all of that, why can't he take care of the problem you're facing today? Just turn that over to him. Take your request to God. So first of all, you hope in God. Focus on him again. Take your requests to him. And then you need to face the storm with faith. Look at Matthew chapter 4. And you need to understand that each one of these points could make an entire message. So I hope you understand I'm only just touching on each one of these things today. But in Mark chapter 4, let's read this, beginning in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 to 40. The Bible says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" You know, you look at that, first of all, you need to remember some things. If you get out there and all of a sudden you feel like saying, "Carest thou not that we perish? Lord, don't you even care what I'm going through?" You need to remember a couple of things. First of all, you need to remember that he's the one who sent you. So he does know what's going on. I mean, look at there. In verse 35, it says, "And the same day when the even was come, he," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." He was the one who sent them. You know what? God has sent you out to serve him. God has worked in your life. God has sent you the way that you're taking. You know what? He hasn't forgotten you. He's the one who's sending you that way. He knew that storm was going to come up the day that he sent you out. No matter how long ago it was, he knew it was going to come. He knew you were going to face that one of these days. And he knew that he would be sufficient unto your needs that day. just as he was the day he sent you. And so you need to remember that he's the one who sent you. But you also need to remember that he's still with you. You say, well, but he was asleep in the rear of the ship. But he was there. Jesus asleep is better than the whole human race awake, amen? Because he's still God and God never sleeps. You say, well, I don't understand that. How can that be? We don't understand in our little brains, but it doesn't matter. God's the only one who needs to know how that works. But you look at this and you need to understand that he is still with you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you, or else he's not kept his promise, and he can't be God. He can't be who he says he is. And you look at that, you need to realize that you need to face the storm with faith. You get in the middle of that thing, you say, I don't know how to work it through. I don't see how I'm going to make it. But God is able, and I'm going to trust him. Faith, like many other things, faith is a decision you make. Okay, it's kind of like when couples are having issues with love and they'll say, well, I just don't feel like I love them anymore. Well, God says, husbands, love your wives. He didn't say feel like it. He said, do it. Amen. Same thing. I mean, talking about faith, you had enough faith to get saved, didn't you? Well, all God asks you to do is exercise the faith that you have. Now, your legs of faith, they might be weak, they might be wobbly. You may not know if you're going to make it across the room. But he says, if you will just pick up your legs and if you will start using what you have, he says, I'll come through and I'll take care of it. And it's going to be all right if you will trust me, if you will just trust me. Have faith in the middle of the storm. All right, well, I got 5 points today. And the first one we saw was hope thou in God. The second one, take your requests to God. Thirdly, face the storm with faith. And now fourthly, reckon yourself to be dead. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for this one. Now, this is an old familiar passage preached many times throughout the ages. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I find that when I truly start struggling, I find that when I'm truly stressed out or distressed or disquieted, Bible terms, I find that when I'm going through this, that it doesn't, it means either that I'm trying to live my life my way, or else I'm trying to do it in my strength. Okay, so I want you to think about what I'm saying. Either I've decided that I'm going my way, okay, boy, I tell you what, that'll distress you. If you're a believer and God worked in your life and God sent you out to serve him, and that doesn't mean, I'm not talking about a call to be a pastor or a missionary or something. You're all called to ministry, amen? But he's worked in your life. And then comes a time when you decide you want to do your thing now. Yeah, that'll distress you all right. That sure will. But number two, and this is the seductive one, this is the one that really draws us and catches us and tempts us. It's the one where you say, I am doing God's work and I have given my life to him. And I'm doing it with all my strength and all my might and I'm going to serve him. But you find out, yeah, you're serving, but you're doing it in your strength and not in his anymore. Oh, you're out there. You're working your way. You realize that Do you realize that that has to die just as much as your way and what you wanted to do with your life? A lot of you, I know we have people who have given their hearts to God. A lot of you came to a point in your life when you said, Lord, my life is not my own. Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, wherever you want to send me, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm giving that to you. I'm willing. I'm ready. Just tell me. But you need to get to the point where you give him the strength, the effort even, to do it. Okay? Paul said this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And we're familiar with this verse, but think about it in context of what I'm talking about here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Y'all know it. I am crucified with Christ. Okay? He says, I'm dead. I'm dead. Okay? You have to die to yourself. You have to die to your ambitions. You have to die to your strength even. You say, well, don't we do? Aren't we supposed to do something? Yeah, we do, but we trust him to get it done. And you have to come to this point where it's not me, but it's him. Okay, so he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I. Okay, I'm not the one who's living, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, today I want you to work in me to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish through me. Nothing more, nothing less. Lord, here I am. I'm ready to get started today, as you will. Okay? When you have that kind of attitude, I find that I get, my experience anyway, I find that I get more done than I ever could in my own strength when I'm that way, when I look to God for the strength, for the ability. But when I try to do it in my own strength and something goes wrong, all that happens is I get mad at that thing and that doesn't work out. When I'm doing it in God's strength, I'm doing it while trusting his strength. Something goes wrong and I say, Lord, well, I thought you wanted me to do this, but if you wanted me to take care of this, that's your business. But if you want me to do this other thing over here that I thought you wanted me to do, well, you're going to have to help me with it. And he does either one of two things. Either God just takes care of the thing real quick and easy, or he gives me the grace and the peace to say, okay, I got to deal with this problem, but that's all right. Okay, we lose our joy of serving God because we're focused not on serving God, but we're focusing on the work. And, well, we are righteous in it. I mean, we know we're righteous because we're doing right things. We're doing it for the right reasons. We're giving our hearts and our efforts and our energy to God, but we're doing it in our strength. And God says, you got to even let that thing die. Let it die. Paul said, I die daily. You got to just let it die and say, Lord, I'm nothing. My life is nothing. All the things I'm doing for you, Lord, I know you could easily raise up somebody somewhere who could do it a whole lot better than me. But Lord, I've given myself to you, and Lord, I'm going to give this day to you. Sometimes I think we give our lives to God, but we don't give our moments to God and say, Lord, here they are. I'm nothing, but this is your day. And this is your life. One last thing, the last thing here, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. That's the next one. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And again, another familiar story. You all know it. But I'm doing this on purpose. I think we need this sometimes. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered. What is that? She was hindered. She was burdened. Cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now notice that word again, careful. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? He says, thou art careful and troubled about many things, casting all your care upon him. Be careful for nothing. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. By the way, let me say this. Martha was a godly lady. The Martha of this passage is a godly lady. You read about her in John chapter 11, and you can see that this is not somebody who's out of God's will, not somebody who's living a carnal life. John chapter 11, verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So this is a woman who probably she'd put every one of us to shame when it comes to godliness. So I just want you to have that perspective. You need to stop looking at Martha like she's some sort of a misfit. Man, there was a reason that Jesus kept on coming back to them. Okay, you know, there was a reason Jesus counted them as friends. And there was a reason Martha met him when he came. And there was a reason Martha said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I mean, she gave testimony to him. This is a godly lady. But what had happened? What had happened? Things were busy. There were a lot of guests. Every time Jesus showed up, man, there were a lot of guests. They needed to be fed. They needed water. They needed to be taken care of and all those things. And all this stuff needed to be done, sure. It's not that they didn't need to be done, but what had happened is Martha got so intensely involved with the serving that she forgot just to be with Jesus for a while, just to draw close to him for a little bit. And you find also that we become cumbered, we become burdened with serving as well, don't we? What happened when she became cumbered with serving? All of a sudden, in her eyes, everybody else was messing up. Okay? She says, don't you even care that she won't help me? Now, she was righteous. She was righteously indignant. She said, my sister's over there. She's not lifting a finger to help. She's not doing anything. So, do you see what her emphasis was? It was on the work to be done, and how that she was the only one doing it and nobody else was doing anything. Check God out every time some saint tries that one there. Elijah, he's a good example. I'm the only one, Lord. You know, I'm it. There's nobody else. I've been jealous for you. Well, he forgot about those 100 prophets that Obadiah had hidden. I've been jealous for you. I'm the only one doing anything, and nobody else is getting it right. Jesus could have said this, Martha, you're a godly lady. You love the Lord. You are doing right, but I'm not going to take this away from Mary. She needs this. She needs it, and you could use some of it. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. In 1 Kings chapter 20, God is with Israel, and he's given them several victories. And Ahab, the king of Israel, he gets so excited about all the things that the Lord is doing, all the work that needs to be done, and he gets so involved in those things that he forgets the word of the Lord. And God had told Ahab, okay, that's the word of the Lord, if he told him this, God had told Ahab to utterly destroy Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. But Ahab, he gets excited, and then he gets busy and starts making his own decisions and either ignores or just simply forgets what God said. So in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 39, here comes a prophet of God to Ahab, and he's pretending that he's a man who was supposed to watch a prisoner. He gives him this story. He says that he was told that if that prisoner escaped, that he himself would receive whatever punishment that prisoner had coming to him. And he said that he got too busy here and there, and the prisoner was gone. And Ahab said, "Well, look there, you just judged yourself. It's your fault. The penalty's on you." And that prophet cleaned his face, wiped his face. He had ashes on his face. He was using it as a disguise. And he says, basically, "No, you judged yourself, Ahab. You're the one who got busy and forgot what God said, and you let the enemy go." That enemy was supposed to be destroyed, and now it's going to be you. Now it's going to be you. One thing is needful. We need to sit and listen at Jesus' feet. Business, I mean, we all have it. I know this applies to anyone here. It applies to me, certainly. You're busy, aren't you? But business is not an excuse for not doing the most important thing. You say, what is that? Your relationship between you and God. And then I think beyond that, to your family and to others. But I tell you what, you take care of the main thing first. And I'm not going to tell you how much of what you're supposed to do. I know there's godly men, and yes, they've laid out a good plan for how much Bible reading you're supposed to do and how much prayer and all these other things. But I'm not going to do that. I think there's a reason why God didn't even do that. Okay, he didn't say how much, did he? Okay, how much Bible time you need, how much prayer time you need. But I'm going to tell you what, you need to be talking to the Lord. You need to spend some time with him. You need to take care of the main thing. You need to look to him. Don't neglect that. I mean, I find out when I get in this terrible panic of activity and all this stress, and it's all just, I can feel the burden, it's all so full, and I try to sit down and read the Bible, sometimes I can't even read it. I mean, the words are there, but my mind is somewhere else. And you know what I find out? There's one solution, and that is coming back to God and saying, "Lord, here I am." And I find out if I'll do that, he'll calm me down. I have to fuss with him sometimes. You say, are you fixing him? No, he's fixing me. He's fixing me. But I got to pour it out to him sometimes. I just got to ask him, "Lord, what am I supposed to do with all the stuff going on over there? Am I just supposed to leave it undone?" And I don't know how to explain it. It's a mystery to me, man. But I walk away from that after talking to the Lord, and it's like all of a sudden, I know where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to do, and man, the things that looked pretty bad before, they don't look so bad anymore. God has taken care of it. He shows me what to do. You got to do that. You got to just come back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm just going to hope in you, and I'm going to give you my requests, and I'm going to have faith in the midst of this storm. And I'm going to say, my life doesn't count, and how I do it doesn't count. And Lord, I'm going to take care of that one needful thing. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it for your sake." Well, how about you? Are you able to focus on the task at hand? Do you know the peace of God that passeth all understanding? Are you able to read God's word and really receive his truth from it when you're finished? I mean, can you think about just one thing at a time? Can you forget the world for a little bit? Are you able to fall asleep at night? Can you take an hour a day and just give it to the Lord, or even occasionally just take a whole day off without taking it all with you? All those problems, all those burdens, all those jobs. Okay, you say, "Well, I can't right now." Well, maybe just a moment. Can you say, "Lord, this is yours"? You say, "Well, I don't know which way to go." Just give him 5 minutes, would you? Fall on your face before him. Now, I'm not talking about anything super mystical or anything like that. I'm talking about how we get into such a stress. It is not God's way. And so I'm going to just close where I started, back over there in Psalm 42, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Is that what you need to do today? Say, Lord, here I am. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us to figure this whole thing out. Lord, so many of us, we are feeling some burdens. We would like to cast them upon you today. We ask you, Lord, to help us to trust you more, to have faith, even when it looks hopeless, to remember that you've helped us before, and to have faith that you can do it again, no matter how difficult it seems to us. So, Lord, help us, Lord, to not to live for ourselves, not trust in ourselves, to die to ourselves, in fact, and to remember that it's you in us that gets anything done in our lives. Lord, many of us have experienced how you did a wonderful work through us, and we remember how difficult it was when we were trying to do it on our own. Help us to remember those times, to remember that you're a God who can do it, and you'll be able to do it again. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.